This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.
So right, right.
How important is the team for you?
That's important to me because you got to surround yourself with people that's bringing things to the table.
Yes.
Instead of just taking stuff from it. I had to get a manager because I had to get somebody, to find somebody that knows stuff that I don't know because I don't know everything. And if you're humble enough to admit that, then you're going to be okay. As long as you got somebody like thinking while you're sleeping, bringing something to the table and hipping you to things and you're bouncing ideas off of each other, it's like a team thing, you know what I'm saying? If Tom Brady can't win the Super Bowl by himself.
Hot Breath. All right, Hot Breathiverse, we got a good one coming to you today. This is a one-of-a-kind guest right here. This gentleman is not only the son of superstar comedian Ricky Smiley, but he's also a comedian in his own right. Started comedy way back at the age of 7 till the age of 13. Took a break. Now after a couple entrepreneurial endeavors and jail experiences, rehab experiences, he's now hopping back into the game. So if you enjoy this, please, Hot Breathiverse, be sure to share this with your other comedian hot brethren and sistren. And if you do want us to rise the charts in iTunes and support us, head on over to iTunes. Just give us a quick 5-star review. And we appreciate you. So, without further ado, please welcome to the Hot Breathiverse, the one and only Mr. Brandon Smiley, ladies and gentlemen.
What's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
What's
up, Mr. Joel?
My man.
How are you, sir?
Yo, thanks for doing this,
and this
man
is a very funny guy, by the way. Like,
word?
This man, he got like that dry humor that's funny as hell. I like the shit. I don't know if you can say shit.
Yeah, you say whatever you want.
Okay,
man.
Cool, man. Cool.
Yeah. Let it out.
Pretty funny guy right here, man. For real.
Hey, you're funny too, my man.
Thank you, man.
How long you been back in the game?
2 years now.
2 years.
Yes, sir.
What brought you back?
Everybody was telling me I need to do it. Mm-hmm. Like I was just on Facebook, just making random statuses, and my status was getting like hundreds of likes and shares, and my dad was like, man, you need to go on stage. My mom was saying the same thing. My mom and dad don't agree on anything.
No, word.
So it was pretty amazing. So I guess that was a sign from God.
Yeah, won't he do it?
He'll do it.
So when you jumped in at the age of 7, first off, what was that push and what was that whole experience
It was
like?
Weird. My dad had this this comedy club called Cobblestone. It was in Birmingham, Alabama. And one day he was getting ready to go to work, and I was at home with my brothers and sister, and I was like, I want to do comedy. And he was like, you want to do it tonight? I was like, yeah. So on the way to the club, he wrote me a couple of like little one-liners on a piece of paper, and he told me to read it. And I took the paper on stage with me, and I read it, and it went pretty good. And after that, I started doing it for like seven years.
Oh, man. Yeah. Any epic bombs in those early years?
Oh.
A child bombing is hilarious.
I think I got kind of booed by like a section of people.
Okay.
Then I cracked on the person. Even though I didn't see him, I was like, your mom got one eye and one lid. They call her Eileen. Yeah, so I kind of saved myself. Then I ended the show right there. So I was like 10 years old when I did that. So
10 years old.
Yeah, I'd had some awkward moments on stage.
Yo, what was the most awkward?
I had did like a, this was like a year ago. I was at the Stardome in Birmingham, Alabama, and I did a, this was after elections, and during the election, one of the issues was abortions.
Mm-hmm.
And I had did an abortion joke, and it didn't go well. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to be offensive, you're going to do an offensive joke, it got to be really funny. And like one white guy was like in the back, he was just like, boo! It was just weird, man. No, then I never did that joke again. I got booed. Then I came back on stage, and the rest of the show was just weird. I try not to have bad shows. I try to be, if I feel myself having a bad show, I kind of try to make it go kind of high pace, like, so I can just get them to laugh, and you know, just get in and get out, basically.
But did you? Oh man, I'm tripping. It's a one man show right now.
Oh yeah, I can rock it.
But when the guy boos you, do you say anything to him? How do you react?
I was so embarrassed. It was just weird. I didn't really have a comeback. I kind of laughed it off. It's kind of It's kind of awkward. It's like an awkward moment, man. But have you ever had one?
Oh, man. I've been booed at a place called Taboo. I've, really? I had a lady flash me on stage before. Like, I've been through the mud in
that
this
sounds
game.
Amazing.
That sounds amazing. Well, sounds, let me see that. Are you calling me? Oh, no, you're good. No, we out here. Oh, you're letting me know you're here? Okay. Well, what made you quit when you were 13?
When I was 13, I quit. I didn't really have any content. You know, I was the son of a celebrity. I wasn't really, yeah, yeah. I ain't really having any content. My life was kind of boring. I was getting picked up by my nanny from school. I had shit to talk about. So I just had to grow up. I had to go through stuff. I had to deal with family issues. I had to date, go through bad breakups. I had to be broke. I had to sleep in the car a couple of nights. I had to go through stuff with my family. And I have to learn and just get good content. You know, you have comedy is a lot about being relatable. Mm-hmm. You know, people can relate to you, even if your joke is half funny. You can probably win them over. So I just had to get some relatable things. I had to, you know, get a couple of loans and.
Wait, you had to get a couple loans, you said? Man, what is this? Hold on.
Shout
now.
Out to Easy Money.
Hold on.
I still owe them $60 right now. I'm going to pay y'all money as soon as they pay me.
Oh, it was $60 loan? Yeah, like $60. Just a little sweet lick.
No, it was more than that, but I paid on the loan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got a $60 balance, right? I got a $60 balance right now. I'm going to pay that when the Yelmar Theater pay me.
So what, wait, hold on. Let's rewind a little bit.
Okay.
What is the son of Ricky Smiley doing sleeping in a car and taking out loans?
Okay, long story short, I went to Alabama State.
Okay, the Hornets.
What you know about Alabama State?
We out here.
Okay, we're gonna have to give him a black card. real soon. I was going to Alabama State, and my dad was just investing all this money into my first semester, and I came home. I think I made like straight F's. And he like withdrew me out of school. He like blocked me, and I just had to fend for myself, you know. Dang. So I had to end up getting a hotel for a couple of days. A couple of nights I couldn't afford a hotel. So, like, one night, it wasn't a couple nights. I always exaggerate. It was one night I had to sleep in the car, and it was, like, cold in Montgomery, Alabama, outside of a hotel. Like, this is a true story. And after that, I took my ass back home to Birmingham, pretty much packed my shit. And, yeah, man, I had some rough time.
Wait, he accepted you back?
No, I went to go stay at my grandmother's house.
Yo.
Yeah.
So, wait, where was Ricky at in his career? Like, was he on?
Yeah, he's been on ever since I was, like, my dad's been going harder since I was like nine.
Dude, so like, yo.
Yeah.
I guess that's just tough love. Is that?
Yeah,
is that
man.
The
my
game?
Dad. Oh, my dad. Tough love, man. When I was growing up, my dad made us cut the grass. My dad had
those
a big
are chores,
ass.
Dude.
No, my dad had a big ass yard, like a commercial style yard. This is a millionaire's yard. So we had to cut grass and you know, rebuild the transmission on the car. Yeah, the car messed up, if you believe that. no, I'm just playing. But yeah, he always showed tough love, man. We was beaten growing up. You know, we rarely got on put on. We was beaten and put on punishment.
Oh, word?
Yeah, it wasn't one or the other. You get a whooping in my house and then get put on punishment.
What was the worst?
The worst whooping?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you got to stay in frame for this one too.
Oh, yeah.
You got to stay tight. Mm. Stay in it. I'm with you right now, Brandon. Let's do this.
The worst whooping I ever had. My dad bought me a slingshot.
Okay.
Yeah, we were staying at Center Point, Alabama. And in the back of our house, we had like this playground. It was like two stores where you can go on top and you slide down. And on the other side of the fence, cars could drive by. So when I had a slingshot, I thought of the bright idea to get some rocks and basically aim at cars.
Mm.
And basically bust the windows. And my friend, little brother, snitched on me and told my dad, and I told my dad no, and he walked outside, and it was glass on the street. And he was like, if you didn't do it, then why is there glass in the street? Long story short, I got one of the worst ass whoopings.
Oh, how long did it last?
About 40 seconds. It was an intense 40 seconds.
Oh, yeah. A lot can happen in 40 seconds.
My worst ass whooping didn't come from my dad. It came from my mom.
Word?
Yeah, my mom didn't play at all.
Sounds like neither of them did.
Hell no. I used to grab the belt when my mom used to whip me.
Uh-huh.
And she would like hit my knuckles with the belt buckle to get me to let it go. Hell yeah. My mom didn't fucking play.
I guess they have that in common. Your parents do.
Yeah. Tough love. But it made me the man I am today, you know, being on punishment a lot. Like, it made me the man I am today because now I can just, I can sit in the holding cell for hours.
I was going to say, you've been to jail before.
Yeah, I've been to jail a couple times.
A couple times. Yeah, look how cool you just said that. Nah, yeah. I've been a couple times, you know, a little stint.
Yeah, just a couple little stuff here and there.
What was it, drinking?
No, I ain't got nothing to do with drinking. But yeah, man, I had some instances with the law, like not showing up to court and stuff with dealing with marijuana and things of that nature.
And now you're clean living now.
Yeah, I'm clean. I don't do drugs at all. You know, I smoke a little weed every now and then. Like when I wake up
medicine,
and when I go to
right?
sleep.
Yeah.
Just but no hard stuff, no drugs, no pills, cocaine.
And you went to rehab for alcohol and all that?
Yeah,
so you bounced back from all that?
Yeah.
So I've heard, like, I mean, I've done a lot of interviews with people who have toured with Ricky, and it's all been just like secondhand stories. But I've heard there can be a little bit of a temper with Ricky at times.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that runs in the family. He has a temper, but people have a tendency to try my dad, and my dad's a stand-up guy. Like he's a man for real.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't play with him if you don't know him. Even if you do know him, you gotta warn him before you play with him. Like a lot of people, like think that he's a comedian, they can just say and do whatever and treat him in a kind of way. And he don't have a temper; he just stands his ground. You know, he was raised by his granddad. You know, mm-hmm. and I was raised by my dad, so that's in all of us. We don't really play the piano. You know, we joke, we love, we give, we're humble, but we demand respect.
Mm. So how is your relationship now that you're back in the comedy game?
We good, man. My dad good. Actually, he put me on a show Saturday. And actually two shows. One is at the Buckhead Theater.
Mm.
And we're leaving the Buckhead Theater and doing another show that night in New Orleans. So, yeah, he's throwing me a couple of bones.
Dang, man.
Yeah.
Just
it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, like, growing up and you're with your dad on the road. Then you grow up and you're actually on the road yourself.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of pretty cool, I guess. I guess you get a kick out of it. I guess you would if your son's doing the same stuff you're doing and it's halfway decent at it.
What have you learned in the comedy game? What have you learned?
Just relax and don't let the crowd eat you up. Just be confident, have high energy, and try not to be a bully and talk about people. I don't really talk about people at my shows.
Okay.
You know, I try not to pull the crowd away from me. You know, I just try to just be funny and have high energy and work on my timing and be professional as I can be.
So how do you relax? Because that's something a lot of comics struggle with is you can get tense.
I pace.
Okay.
Yeah, I pace back and forth before my show. That's how I relax. Take deep breaths, pace. I don't drink or do anything before I go on stage because it blurs my mind. Mm-hmm. I just try to pace and pray.
So you pray before every show?
Yeah, I pray. I ask God to make me have a good show. If you don't have God on your side, you don't have anything, man.
Okay.
You got to have God on your side.
Yeah,
believe
him,
in God.
Let him use you all the time.
You should come by the room, man. I'll tell you about Jesus.
Come by the room.
Yeah, let's talk about Jesus.
Where's the room?
Best Western.
Yeah. Oh, you got it like that.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, man.
Doing the big.
Started
man.
From the car, now we're here.
Oh, yeah. We got a. We here, man.
But it's cool. You seem to have earned it the hard way, which is like the right way, where you appreciate wherever you are now.
Right. When I started, me and my dad was on kind of okay terms.
Mm-hmm.
We had kind of like fell out like shortly after I started. And me and my dad got a weird relationship. Sometimes we're good, sometimes we're not. And sometimes it's my fault, sometimes it's his fault. But that's here nor there. But yeah, man, I done performed like summer everywhere. Like I done even performed in barbershops before. A lot of people don't know that.
What?
Yeah, I performed in a barbershop before. Like a barbershop had like a little, like a talent show. And my friend comedian, he told me about it and I went. And I actually did good. It was pretty cool, actually.
Was there a microphone set up?
Yeah, it was a microphone. It was a microphone and everything. People was getting their haircuts.
What?
I swear to God, real talk. It was pretty cool, though. Like, it humbles you. Just to know you're just starting out doing stuff like that instead of just starting out. Doing sold out crowds and stuff like that. That way, you know, when I eventually get sold out shows, maybe I'd appreciate it a little more and be more humble about it.
Oh, yeah, dude, I've done shows on like sidewalks and like patios.
That's pretty low, man. I don't think I'd do that.
Yo, that's the grind, man.
Yeah, man.
You're only 2 years in and you're like, man, I got Buckhead Theater. I'm like, oh, word. I've seen it before.
You did it on the sidewalk for real?
Yeah.
That's what's up, man, for real. That's determination.
Yeah, I love comedy.
Yeah.
That's why I was like gravitated towards you, because I was like, you started at 7?
Yeah, man.
Like I mean,
I used to.
It's crazy.
I used to get kicked out of school for this. And like, I used to get kicked out of school so much, and my teacher knew I did comedy. She made a deal with me. Like, if I didn't get in trouble all day, she'd let me do a joke at the end of class. Swear to God. But every time before I do the joke, I call my dad, like, I did good today. You got a joke for me? He'll give me a little joke. Uh-huh. I remember the first joke. I actually remember the first joke I did. Yeah, I remember the first joke I did. Yeah, the first joke I did, I was like, what do fat people eat? How do fat people eat their cereal? And then the classroom was like, how? And I was like, out of a Super Bowl. And it was like Super Bowl, like the weekend lean of the Super Bowl.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, I killed that.
Where do fat people?
Yeah.
How do they eat cereal?
Yeah.
Okay.
At the Super Bowl.
You still do that one?
No.
Yeah. Okay. How old were you when you did that?
About 9, maybe.
That was 9. You do it in class.
Yeah, just did it in class.
Okay. Dude, that's crazy. Kid out doing stand-up. I know a lot of comedians, we think about wanting to do comedy, but it took me till like senior year of college when I'm like, well, I don't have anything else to lose. Lost all my money, so I might as well try comedy.
Right.
But the fact you took the leap at 7, man.
Right.
That's rare.
Appreciate it, man. Like, I mean, it's not that special to me, man. A lot of kids are doing, being a kid singers and kid actors and stuff. You just gotta swallow your fear and just get out there.
Well, what's the vision now? Because you're 28 now?
Yeah, I'm 28.
Right? So you've been back in the game like 2 years.
Right.
So, I mean, you have a manager already this early in, and who booked this gig, by the way.
Oh, yeah, shout out to T-Dog Da Don.
So, Da Don.
Da Don.
T-Dog Da Don. So, like, you've got a team around you. You're still young in the game in terms of, like, comedy years. So, like, what is your vision? How are you making moves right now?
Man, I'm just taking any and every opportunity that's thrown out there, man. Just taking everything and going with it. You know, it's not all about the money right now.
Mm-hmm.
For real, it's just about the opportunity. You know, so I'm just trying to get as many opportunities as I can, man, to be more successful. You know, get paid more for a show.
Yeah.
You know, once I start getting like at least $10,000 a show, then I think I'd be pretty successful.
But I think.
Be looking out for Weave Kings. It's a movie.
Weave Kings.
Yes, it's a movie I'm writing.
Oh, you're writing a movie?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
dude.
We got sponsors for it and everything.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm starring in everything. It's called Weave King. Basically, these two guys who are basically, I don't know if they're going to be best friends or brothers, but they grew up together, and they got this horrible job, and they came across a box of weave, which is hair. You know what weave is.
Oh, like word. Yeah, like Virgin Remy and
all that. Yeah, who got to get you a black car for real?
We woke.
I'm gonna get my manager on that immediately. and basically, they come across all this hair, and they didn't know what it was. They didn't really think nothing of it. Until a girl came over, seen it, then they start selling the hair, and it's just silly as hell. Like it's silly. Like the mm-hmm. whole movie's gonna be just silly as hell.
So you haven't shot it yet?
No, we're still writing it.
Well, if you need some salt to that pepper, let me know.
I got you, man.
We out here, man.
I got you, bro.
Okay, so you're writing a movie. Only 2 years back into this game, you're touring around, doing Buckhead Theater and all this other cool stuff. Like,
right.
I'm even thinking of you just growing up. The way you did, you've probably met some cool comics. And maybe gotten game along the way as well.
Right.
Like, what were some of those experiences you could have?
Being cool as hell, man. I've never been a person to get starstruck because I try not to. You know, I've met like Mike Epps. I've been to Steve Harvey's house. I seen Chris Tucker. I met Chris Tucker one time. I met The Rock. That's the only time I've been starstruck, when I met The Rock. Like The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
Uh-huh.
And I was starstruck when I met him, Morgan Freeman, just a couple of people.
Wait, take us back to that Rock moment.
Man, my dad was hosting the NAACP Awards. He took me and my god sister with him. And he was going down the red carpet. And I'm looking down the carpet, and it's the freaking Rock. Like, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. Uh-huh. Like, can you smell what The Rock cooking, Dwayne Johnson? And we took pictures with him and everything. He's a cool dude, man. He's like huge in real life. But, it was like definitely one of the most memorable parts of my life.
Take us to Steve Harvey's house. Please break down that whole experience. Because this guy, like, what's crazy about, like, the comedians at that level, where it's comedians doing more than just comedy, which is a goal of mine, but, like, using their comedy as almost a launch pad to make even a greater impact. Like people like Steve Harvey, like people like your dad has done.
Right.
So, like, you being in the environment with someone like Steve Harvey, being in his domain at his house, like, what did you learn from that, or what was that experience, and what kind of impact did it have on you?
It was pretty cool. Like, it just showed me that you can, if you do right, you can do basically anything is possible. Like, just in the house with Steve Harvey. It was one weekend. My dad was staying in Texas. That's what Steve Harvey has a house in Texas. I don't know if he still had a house or not. But Steve Harvey invited me and my dad over, and he got, like, a garage full of, like, four-wheelers and dirt bikes and stuff. So, and he got a lot of land, too. So we went out riding dirt bikes and all that, and we came back another time, and Steve Harvey cooked dinner for us.
What?
Swear to God, cooked with his own hands. I was so nervous, I ain't even eat the dinner. Steve Harvey was like, "Do you want some?" I'm like, "No, sir, I'm good." He's like, "You sure?" I'm like, "Yes, sir, I'm good." And when we got back, me and my dad got back in the car, my dad hit me, was like, "Stupid fool. Next time Steve Harvey offer you something to eat, you know, you take it." You know, but next time I go over there, I'm definitely going to eat the cake.
Wait, he actually hit you? Was he actually angry that he didn't eat Steve Harvey's food?
Oh. I didn't eat the food.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
I didn't eat the food.
Yeah, like that.
How old were you when this was happening?
I don't know, like 12, 13. Like 14.
Did he bestow any wisdom or game?
No, I was just listening to them. They was just talking. I was just listening to them talk, just watching, learning from them. Mm. You know, but I learned a lot of stuff. I learned most of my stuff, like, from as far as the comedy game goes, just from when I was smaller, going on the road with my dad. About how he conducted himself, how he handled his business, how to handle certain situations. And that kind of, like, I feel like gave me a head start on the game as well, because I've been around, I already know the tricks and what to look out for and all this, how to handle certain people. And it really teach you a lot, just growing up around that. Like, you imagine, like, if your dad worked at McDonald's, you went to his job every day watching flip burgers. Motherfucker, when you go to work for McDonald's, you gonna know a little something about flipping burgers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm pretty much up on it.
Yeah, a lot of the people that listen to this are, like, comedians out on the grind.
Right.
So give us a little more detail into, like, the specific things you may have learned with, like, being with your dad on the road.
Because
you mentioned just the business being a, side just being and how a, to conduct it, yourself.
Just the word that were show business. You know, it's not just about the show. You know, it's the business aspect. You know, just always try to be professional as you can. You know, the word extraordinary. You know, it's the ordinary, but it's also the extra. Just basically going above and beyond, just trying to be above the standard. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody's funny. A lot of people's funny. You know what I'm saying? But and we got a lot of competition out here. And you know that, especially in Atlanta, like it's filled with comedians and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just be funny anymore. That's the easy part, being funny. What are you doing? What else are you doing? Like, the business aspect, what are you doing behind the scenes? And all that stuff, like, you equate that to the right math equation, like, you can be pretty successful.
So doing stuff beyond just, like, stand up,
right?
It's really only one degree of it,
right? And how you conduct business, like, how you show up, like, the way you dress, like, I always try to dress nice. You know what I'm saying? Look nice, get a haircut. You know what I'm saying? Don't cuss too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You don't turn the crowd off. You know how to handle hecklers and all this stuff. And just growing up watching all this stuff, man, it really helped me out today.
And I'm sure it gives you a little bit of a competitive advantage. And also, a lot of times, comedians, like, it took me a while to start thinking bigger. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of, like, well, I'll just do the open mics and just grind it out and just do it, which is part of the process. But I'm at a point in my career where I'm in the growth mindset of, like, oh, well, there's way more possibilities than meet the eye initially, where I was just like, I'll just be a comedian and maybe make a living. But now I'm like, no, I want to make, like, an impact.
Right.
So where is your mindset? Because, I mean, you're only 2 years back into it, but you growing up in this environment that it's like, oh, I'm seeing the 1% of comedy right now. Like, I'm in, like, the rare realm of people who have really made an international impact. So, like, where is your mindset and what you're wanting to do with this comedy game?
Man, what I want to do with it, just, like, not, what I want to do with the comedy game. I just want to rock it, man. I want to be good at what I do, man. Mm-hmm. I don't really have anything specific to answer that, but I just want to be good. I want to be genuinely funny. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I want to be able to rock shows. Like, you ever went on after a comedian that, like, did, like, good, Like, oh, you ever been at a, and it kind of made you feel a certain type of way about going on after him? Mm-hmm. And you ever been at a dead show, like where the crowd wasn't really feeling, but you was opening up for a headliner, and you know that the headliner, every time he comes out there, no matter what the crowd, how the crowd is, they rock the show.
Yes.
And I'm just trying to get to that point. Like, comedians like Sir Walt, Julie Scoggins, Godfrey, that's just a number of people I've opened up for.
Uh-huh.
Man, you put them in front of anybody, man, they're going to rock the show, period. Some days my days be kind of off, like depending on the audience, you know, but I'm getting better at that. And that's the point where I'm trying to get to. Well, I'm rocking that bitch regardless.
Yeah, like the undefeated.
Right, right.
Yeah, I just did a show like Sunday and Alton Walker was there and every comedian went up, ate it. And then the headliner gets up there and just kills it for 45 minutes. Like, right. Just it's just having that extra gear where when the audience isn't giving you the energy back, you almost, like, exercise it from them.
Right, right.
Which is just stage time,
right,
really.
Right, right. Yeah, people be doing that, can do it like that, been in the game for, like, 15-plus years,
exactly,
man.
Exactly.
And you got to give it to them, man. That's a long-ass time to be doing this. Long time. You can learn a lot from doing it. If you've been doing it this long, you're not at that level, then you're doing something wrong. Because I'm trying to be there by, like, in the next 2 years.
And you're really only 2 years in,
right,
into the game. You got to think, that's almost, like, if you think of comedy as, like, a language, 2 years in, man, it's like, you're like goo goo gaga
right
now.
Right.
You know, and even, like, you know, I'm almost 9 years in, and I'm still, like, there's sometimes I'm like, yeah, I got it. And then, like, the show Sunday, I'm like, oh, man, I'm still here.
Right, right.
Like,
right,
it's comedy always has a way. She always keeps you humble.
Right, right.
You're feeling yourself.
You're really only as good as your last show.
Yeah.
That's why, if I have, I hate ending a weekend on a bad show. And that shit eats my nerves all week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like to just rock. That's why like, my last show, like, on Sunday, I try to rock that bitch out.
Mm-hmm.
So I give me some sleep that week.
Right, right.
If I don't rock, I get booed. I ain't never got booed, but if I have a knock on wood. But if I, because I know it's coming. That's what comedians say. You got a boo. You ever been booed yet? Like, no. Like, well, you got a booing coming. It happens to everybody. I'm like, fuck.
That's why I asked you, because, like, I ask all my guests, like, what is your worst boo story?
Not yet, man.
Yeah.
Not
you just
yet.
Had
not
a little boo in the back. You haven't had the
crowd. Yeah, yeah. Just one guy was like, it was just awkward. Like, it was like, boo. I ain't like that joke. Man, it was just weird. But I ain't never, like, had the whole building just, boo, 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 the fuck, boo, fuck, yeah, and that hasn't happened yet. Knocking wood again.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, I don't know how we'll handle that. That's, like, one of my worst fears. Like,
oh,
fuck.
Yeah. Just getting booed.
Like, how do you come out of that? Like, just getting booed on that level.
You just bounce back.
This shit happened to, you seen that.
Last night took an L, but tonight back. Tonight I bounce back.
That black card, T-Dog. You still working on that?
He's keep tabs on that.
You need that immediately. But the only comedian I seen, like, really bounce back from something like that, you seen Bill Burr? You seen that time he got booed in Philly?
Yeah.
And he just ripped the crown for, like, 10 minutes straight.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was, like, one of my favorite videos, but that, like, I couldn't do that. Like, he did it. But, like, yeah, that's one of my worst fears.
But that's a dude who's been in the game.
Right.
Who can fight back. You know what I mean?
It's mine or yours.
Oh, no, that's yours. You're on hot breath. You're the only one that gets the hot breath water, my man.
Feel special.
That's good, right?
It's good.
So what, I mean, one thing you mentioned was doing, writing the movie.
Right.
What other kind of things do you want to kind of check off the list?
I want to get a nonprofit. You know what I'm saying? Like, help homeless and shit like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, stuff like that. Like, give back to the community. Huh. You know? Stuff like that. Buy my grandma a house, maybe. I don't know. But just as far as, like, in general, just open up a nonprofit organization. Just give back to, like, kids and homeless people. Because it's cold as fuck outside.
Yeah.
Like, it's cold as fuck. Like, for real, for real. And there's people out there ain't got a roof over their head, ain't got heat in their house. There's people, like, freezing to death in Chicago right now. So if I can just put together a program that's get sponsored maybe by the state or even myself or maybe a fellow comedian, they just make sure homeless people have a warm place to stay overnight. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Just because that's no excuse, man. This country has too much money in order for it to be homeless people on the street freezing to death.
Why is that so personal to you?
Why is it not personal to everybody? That's the that's the question. The fact that you have to ask that's the problem with the world today. But it's personal. I'm gonna tell you why it's personal to me. Because you got to think bigger than yourself. If you're selfish and you're only thinking about yourself, then man, you're not God. I'm not gonna bless you. You know what I'm saying? You got to put other people before yourself sometimes. And it just humbles you, man, just to be able to help people. You know, plus I'm trying to get into heaven.
Oh, is that that's the long-term game. That's a, you're like, you're what's wrong with the world, man? You know, I'm just trying to get into heaven. You know what I mean? You know.
But all jokes aside, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I just want to be good at what I do, man. Be able to help somebody.
Okay.
Be able to bless somebody. Like my dad, for example, like he helped people a lot. Like a lot of times people don't even know about it. Like helping kids get cars who don't have transportation and setting up Christmases for children that don't get nothing for Christmas. These kids don't wake up with shit, man. Mm-hmm. Imagine, can you imagine that? And he helped with programs. He got programs like that. And I just want to be able to do stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? As well as the comedy.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was getting at, is like where that influence came from to not be. Because, I mean, at your age, you're still young, so it can be easy to get very self-interested and not think about others, you know?
Right.
So
but we've been like that, like, our whole life. Like, we never had big Christmases. Like, every Christmas morning, me and my dad and my family, we go out and give it to other people. Like, we go out to the individual houses and distribute presents to the family.
Wow.
Right, so we don't really focus on ourselves during Christmas, you know? Just trying to teach us to think outside of ourselves.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, that does make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wise, man.
Yeah.
Well, but before we get out of here, man,
mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you want the world to know or any more game you could spit before we get off here?
Oh, shit. I don't know, man. Just live right. Eat healthy, drink water. I don't know.
Fontus water.
Yeah, man.
Drink Fontus right water.
Here. Drink this water right here. It's very, very refreshing. And thank you. This guy's a funny guy, like I said. Appreciate it, Joe, man, for having me on here.
Brandon, man, no doubt, man.
Yeah, man.
I appreciate you, man.
No
I'm excited. We were doing the show together, and then I was like, what? And then when we talked last night, and you're like, I started at 7. I was like, oh, it is in the genetics.
Right.
You started at 7, but then a long time has passed, and now you're not trying. You are back in it. But it's, you know, it's 2 years in, man. It's still early in the game, but
yeah.
Seems like you have a – 2 years in, you know, I'm just like doing open mics, but you have like a manager and like a bigger vision. And I think that's valuable for comedians to hear, because with how the world is set up now with like the internet and social media, is that you can create your own success and faster.
Right.
As long as you have that vision. And it seems like that you could almost be a template for other comedians to follow in that sense.
Right. And it's kind of harder for especially like old school comedians to get like, because the competition is crazy with social media, because like anybody can be a comedian now. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to go on stage.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The only thing you got to do is just learn how to edit videos, and people figure out how to edit videos, make funny videos, and they're all of a sudden they're a comedian, which I'm not knocking the hustle. But like that term comedian, like getting on that stage, man, like there's no edit button on there. Like you can't take anything back. You can't rewind.
Right.
Once you're up there, you're up there. And that's like comedian status for me. But like, yeah, that's social media, man. That's like real big. That's like changing the game.
Yeah, but how important is the team also? Because I've just now recently been more mindful of like who I surround myself with,
right,
and like people I'm connecting with, and how we can help each other grow together. So
right.
How important is the team for you?
That's important to me, because you got to surround yourself with people that's bringing things to the table.
Yes.
Instead of just taking stuff from it. I had to get a manager because I had to get somebody to find somebody that knows stuff that I don't know, because I don't know everything. And if you're humble enough to admit that, then you're going to be okay. But like, I just basically had to get somebody to think while I'm asleep. You know, just constantly thinking of shit, because I have ADD, man. I get up in the morning, I'd be on my Facebook for like 2 hours before I decide to even get out of bed. So as long as you got somebody like thinking while you're sleeping, bringing something to the table and helping you to things, and you're bouncing ideas off of each other, it's like a team thing, you know what I'm saying? If Tom Brady can't win the Super Bowl by himself, he got to have help.
Yeah.
And that's what I have. Got a team of dedicated individuals that's willing to help me. You know what I'm saying? That's about their business and about their hustle. Everybody in my team is about their hustle. We're about money. We're about success. We're about doing the right thing. We're doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how important having a team is to me.
Yo, Brandon Smiley.
Joe, what's your last name?
Byers.
Joel Byers.
Joel Byers.
Byers?
Byers.
Joel Byers.
Joel Byers.
Yeah.
Hot Breath Podcast.
Yeah, Hot Breath Podcast.
So I'm looking forward to seeing the climb, man. You're early on in the game, and you're already making big waves. So I think this is going to be a nice time capsule of – the next time we do one of these, man, right. I feel like it's going to be on something special.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to probably be, Budweiser probably be on the top of it. Who knows where we'll be in a couple of years. You know,
we'll probably have our own green rooms. Right now, we're in a conference room.
Yeah, we're in a conference room.
But we're going to have our own green room the next time we do this.
Right.
My man. Well, Brandon Smiley, thanks for doing this, buddy.
No problem, man.
All right.
Anytime.
Hot Breathiverse, you heard it right here. My man, Brandon Smiley. Get yourself a team. Surround yourself with people that care about what you do and that can bring something to the table instead of taking it away.
That's right.
And be about your business, all right? It's show business. So surround yourself with people. If your strength is the show, surround yourself with people whose strength is the business. But all in all, this guy right here you just heard on here is young in the game, but he's making veteran moves that I hope you can learn from and apply to yourself. So if you have any questions or you want to reach out to him, where can they keep up with you as well?
You can find me on Facebook as Brandon. My name is Brandon Smiley. Just search Brandon Smiley. Mm-hmm. And you can find me on Instagram, BJ Smiley 1990, like blowjob. BJ, but it's Brandon Smiley.
Oh, that's Brandon.
I'm not gay.
Okay,
my name is Brandon Smiley. So BJ Smiley 1990.
It's a good manager. Can we get him a better Instagram, please? The manager's like, oh man, he's got to pause every time he says his Instagram.
Yeah, man, I didn't think that went through.
BJ Smiley.
But yeah, man, it's like you reach me.
Reach out to him or reach out to us at Hot Breath Pod or at Joel Byers Comedy on all social media or joelbyerscomedy.com. All I ask for you to do, if you want to get merch, it'll be linked in the show notes. But all you got to do, share this with your fellow comedians. Let them know that Hot Breath is here to help you get better at comedy faster by interviewing comedians like Brandon Smiley. So let's keep in touch. Leave an iTunes review if you want us to keep climbing those charts. And we will see you next Monday. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.